See, cats don't understand how deep I could be. I give it to them easy as pie, they want it easy as three. Either you get it or you don't, I can't make people see. But for dope lines, call me the Beav and leave it to me. Me? I leave it to Beaver. They the ones that's copping, and every time I reach through the speaker, they straddle the tweeter. Cats want to battle the leader when they should be following. The former's more dangerous than handling ether, and the latter will arm you with tools like handling Ninas. You too could be a G if you had the demeanor. Bars, nigga, bars. All right, welcome to welcome to What Is TWS episode 7. It's been a while. We are back. Apologize for the break. Some illnesses, some crazy life situations, so we had to take some
life
time
happened.
Off.
Life happened this week. Had to take a little hiatus really quick, but we're back. We're strong. We're ready.
As always, I am Jay Flan.
This is Rich Nerd.
Yes, sir. And we are the White Pants Society. Feels good to be back recording another episode.
Definitely does. Definitely does. It feels like it actually been longer than just a week.
But it's been a minute. So I want to tell you guys that Rich never has any idea what I'm going to do.
Definitely don't. It's a surprise every time.
He never knows what I'm gonna do for every intro. So he's going through it with you guys. And I normally, you know, enjoy just catching the look on his face when I go into whatever I go into. I did that intro. I'll tell the story. I did that intro because we're doing the YouTube videos now, and you cannot monetize YouTube videos if you use copyrighted material. You know, if I was to sing the lyrics from an actual song or rap the lyrics from an actual song, we would not be able to monetize that. So I decided to give you some vintage Jay Flan. I don't even know if I ever recorded that on a particular track. I think I did. Maybe one day that track come out. I know 1-3 got it. He'll be here in December. Shout out to 1-3.
Shout out to 1-3. Guest host coming up soon.
So that was that one.
Man, I might have to dust my books.
Yeah, man, you got to come out with some bars. I'm throwing the gauntlet down. Man, it may be a weekly thing. I just give them a couple bars when I start out. But so this is again episode 7. This is Daddy Night. The inmates are running the asylum. My wife is not here. It's me, Rich, and Elise. I think I'm doing a good job on Daddy Night. I think Rich, you know, I don't know if Rich has seen me in like full daddy mode, but I was like, you know, full on.
I saw you running through here. I saw you running all up and through here.
I was in full on daddy mode. I was singing the bath time song, and we was dancing to Frank Sinatra, all the stuff I do with my daughter that normally only my wife gets to see. But that was full on daddy mode. And then, yeah, I had another, you know, real daddy experience tonight while Rich was sitting in here by himself. I had to sit in the room with my daughter while I was trying to get her to go to sleep. And I was eating chicken and waffles on the floor with no utensils. So I ate a whole waffle.
That was like a real
syrup.
Like 1800s like move.
Yeah.
Chicken and waffles on the floor in the dark.
In the dark with no utensils. Man. Just my hands, just, you know, until she went to sleep. But that's daddy life.
This is 2016.
It's 2016. She don't understand them sacrifices daddy made. My fingers got sticky. I don't like sticky fingers.
Did you even put the syrup on it?
I put the syrup on it. You got it. I got to have the syrup. I can't do dry waffles.
Did you do the regular or the red velvet?
I did the regular. See, I can't do red velvet.
I don't know. Shout out to Rolling Rooster, by the way. Rooster, with that Rolling Rooster, I don't know. Something about it, like, I just love the red velvet waffle.
I've never done the red velvet. I can't, I don't know. I'm a real, like, basic, traditional person when it comes to my breakfast food. I want buttermilk pancakes, and I want regular waffles. We go to Kirby Lane, one of my favorite breakfast spots here in Austin. And my wife always gets, you know, some sort of crazy pancake of the month or pancake of the week or whatever. I think she had, like, strawberry lemon pancakes the last time we went there. She loves their lemon poppy seed pancakes and their cinnamon bun or cinnamon swirl pancakes. Buttermilk pancakes. Don't mess with pancakes. I want a regular waffle. I want my syrup. I'm a classic man. What's the dude named? Jadina? Jidia? I don't follow. You know the dude. You get the song. Classic man.
Thinking like you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm a classic man. But yeah, I was on my real daddy stuff tonight. And so that brings me to what's been bothering me this week. What's been bothering me this week is, let me say this. having a child is not easy. I'm not saying my life is any harder than anybody else's, you know, because I have a daughter. Shout out to single parents, because I have a wife and she probably takes care of the majority of the parenting duties. And I still feel like I have no idea how, you know, I'm gonna get everything done. So I don't know how one person does all of this. But yeah, you know, parenting and daddy life is not easy. What bothers me is if you did not carry that child for 10 months, because they tell you 9 months, but it's more like 10. If you didn't carry that child for 10 months, if you weren't here to assist the person carrying that child for 10 months, here to deal with the cravings or the emotions or the waking up in the middle of the night or any of it, if you didn't push for, damn, how many hours did she put? It was crazy. If you didn't push for the umpteen amount of hours that she did, if you weren't in 23 hours worth of labor, if you weren't in that room with her, telling her it was going to be all right, and you had no idea it was going to be all right, then that's just bringing her into the world. Now we're in month 11 of her existence. You know, so that's 11 months of not really ever getting a full night's sleep, you know, always having to have your head on a swivel. Is you got something in the house that wants to pick up everything off the floor and put it in your mouth. If you have, you hear all this stuff I'm talking about. If you haven't done any of these things, when you refer to my child, do not use the term my baby. It drives me absolutely crazy when people see a picture of Elise and they're like, how's my baby doing? Or my baby looks, is not your baby. It is not your baby. I know it sounds petty, but it bothers me because it is my baby, and that comes with a lot. It comes with a lot of work, blood, sweat, and tears.
I see that, and that's a lot of stress. I see that all the time, and I could definitely understand how that could annoy the crap out of you.
It annoys the shit out of you.
Everybody says it. How's auntie's baby?
Not auntie's baby.
How's grandma's baby?
No, grandma, no.
It's like it's a necessity. Like they have to say it.
Yeah, and I know it's semantics, because it wouldn't bother me if grandma said, how's grandma's grandbaby? Because she is your grandbaby.
See, that's something totally different. Yeah, you're right.
Something totally different. But she's not your baby. She's not your baby. And it bothers me. So I needed to get that off my chest, especially on a night like tonight where I'm in full-on daddy mode. I'm doing my daddy duty, and I feel like I'm doing a damn good job of it. That is my baby. It's not your baby. Keep it out your mouth. All right. I'm done. What's good with you, Rich?
That was a good one. That's a good one. Sorry, I'm out here trying to keep up with the social life. Shout out to our followers on What Is TWS, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Where we at, like,
we really appreciate you guys.
130, where we at?
On Instagram?
Yeah.
Instagram. We're still low. I mean, I was pushing it earlier.
Yeah.
I think we're up to like 179. I'll tell you right now, because I'm actually about to, I caught you mid-rant while you were recording. So post the picture. I'll take one of me too, just because it's like, hey.
It's not fair to just throw me out there like that.
It's like, why not? I got threw myself under the bus too.
No haircut. I have a shave.
Man, I'm looking rough. So
I'm not doing no shave November, by the way, this year.
I was going to bring that up. That was one of the topics I was going to bring up today. But let me do my rant first. Oh, by the way, you asked. We're at 175 followers. So, I mean.
I say 130. It's dope. I know. I mean,
we're at 123 this morning. I've been putting in work.
Putting in work. Appreciate it, sir.
So.
We ought to pay you one day.
We're doing this for the love, people. We do not get paid. We're doing this for the love. So thank you for listening. Also, just like you don't know, well, I don't know what you're going to do for the opening every single week.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do for the rant every single week. Every single week, I have no idea what I'm going to rant about until I'm sitting here and it's my turn for my rant and something that just bothers me clicks. Pops up in my head. You know what grinding my gears this week?
All right. Tell them what you meant.
Delivery, tips, and disappointment.
Okay.
So we ordered food. We ended up ordering from two different places just because we couldn't decide what to get. Place I wanted, order my food, get a message. Actually, we're closed. We're not going to be able to deliver your food. That's number one. If you knew you were going to close, why would you even let me place an order? Why? True. Why? Yeah. Why let me go through the hassle, put in my credit card number, doing all this crap? You're not going to come. Just so therefore, I had to come up with another solution. Tried to go to Rolling like you did, but then I was like, fuck it, Jared already ordered. By the time I get an order into Rolling, they're already going to be here with his. They're going to get pissed off. Got to go all the way back, come all the way back again. That's not going to work. End up ordering fucking Domino's. Is it Domino's? Yeah, this is Domino's. It's Domino's. Shout out to Domino's for making meals happen in a crunch for people. That's what you're good at. You make meals happen in a crunch. Is it my favorite thing to eat? No. Was this my favorite meal today? No. Was it burnt? Yes. Was it appealing? No. Like, it wasn't a good meal. So going back to the beginning, my rant is the delivery guy gets here. He knows where the food came from. He knows what the food's been through. He knew my food was burnt. He smiled in my face, gave me my food, and gestured for a tip, knowing this isn't tip-worthy food. They should be on. Had he been like, you know what? You know, got here just in the nick of time. Hope I wasn't too late. By the way, they fucked up. Your food, it's not going to be good. I swear the dude in the back left it in the oven too long. Somebody else probably dropped the tray on the floor. Might be a little bit of cheese on the lid. So, you know what? Sorry. That deserves a tip.
That deserves a tip.
That honesty right there deserves a tip. This food that I ate, I want my tip back. That's my rant. I want my goddamn tip back. Delivery drivers, if you know what the truth is, tell people what the truth is. They will love you more.
I've never been a delivery driver, so, you know, as much as I want to be a proponent, I don't know anything about that life or what you have to deal with. But I will tell you, delivery drivers, and I'm a person that tips religiously. I believe in tipping. You're always going to get a tip messing with me. The way to not get a tip, motion for a tip.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
That would have made me put my money back in my pocket. Yeah. If he motioned for a tip, I got one for you. Don't do that again. You know.
Keep it pushing.
Be humble. Keep it pushing.
Keep it pushing. But yeah, that was my rant. I'm sorry. That was just bothering me. Sit here, ate this nasty ass, unfulfilling ass food. I'm not hungry. Disappointed.
That's why I gotta go with the Rooster. Like, you know, I say with this parents and stuff, like, I gotta make sure I say this the right way. Cause I don't wanna, I love my daughter and she's the best part of my day every day, going to pick her up from daycare, seeing her, you know, no matter what kind of day I've had, you know, when she's happy to see me when we pick her up from daycare is the best part of my day.
Some moment right there.
But, you know, working all day and coming home knowing you're not coming home to relax. You're not coming home to rest. You're coming home to your second job. You know, that's not a great feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, one of the joys I get every day is, or I get a chance to get every now and again, is eating some good food. So, like, you know, I got to sit in a room in the dark and eat on the floor. It better be some damn good fucking food that I'm eating off the floor.
If it was a fucked up...
And them wings was hitting. Them wings was everything for me.
I can imagine if it was shitty food.
Hey, if I was eating some Domino's on the floor in the dark, man.
Because now it's like, damn, I'm on the floor. I'm in the dark.
Eating Domino's.
Yeah.
Nah, that's depressing. At least the chicken,
that lifted you up.
It lifted me up.
Raised your spirits a little bit.
It was like, I know you're not going to sleep anytime soon, but let me finish these wings, because mm-hmm. these wings is the truth.
I feel you. I can get that one.
I can't do Domino. If I'm going to order out, it's got to be something that's going to make my day better.
Yeah, I can't do that again.
But speaking of making my day better.
There you go.
I had a pretty damn good weekend. And part of my good weekend. I got to teach the boy Rich Nerd a lesson about fantasy football.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But I am a fantasy football legend, and I need to be treated as such. I need to be, you know, you got to put some respect on my name when you talk about me in terms of fantasy football.
This was not my week. It's not my week.
I'm a G. You just look at the record. Look at the trophies in the case. It's trophies in the case. I put numbers on the boards.
This was not my week.
He wasn't ready. Rookie wasn't ready. I had to haze him a little bit. I had to take him to school. Yeah,
I definitely got beat this week. It's all good though.
It's all good. I know.
Let me see. Where am I standing at?
I'm suffering in the other leagues.
You're still in one.
Still first place. Yeah. Where God, I belong.
Damn, I dropped down to number 8.
I belong in number 1.
Yeah, it was a bad week for me.
Yeah, Robert. Is it a fluke now? Like, I won the championship last year, and it was a fluke. I got robbed. We in, what, week 8 of year 2, and I'm still on top. So, I don't know. It doesn't sound flukish to me.
I don't know. Big Rob is number 7.
Number 7, yeah.
Let's see. Who's up there?
I think, what, Christy is number...
You're number 1. I'm Bolton to Texas, hey, number 2.
Christy's number 2.
And then we got Ultralight Beams, number 3, Big yeah. J.
Well, that's Julian.
Yeah, or Ultralight okay. Beams.
Ultralight Beams.
So, yeah, he's kicking ass, too.
Auto draft. Yeah, we'll take it.
Let's see. Right behind him is Kingsman. I don't know who Kingsman is.
I don't know.
But the point spread between those two, it's pretty big.
But yeah, you know, the important part is that champ is here. I ain't gone nowhere.
I understand. It's a conspiracy.
From week to week, I had to make my presence felt. You know, I have a bad week every once in a while, but sometimes I had to make my presence felt. I feel like I did that. Unfortunately, my Redskins did not. They went to London and faced a good Bengals team, but a team we should have beat.
So, here's my thing. Why are people flying to London to play?
Because they love us out there. They love us. There's going to be a franchise in London in the next, I want to say, 10 years.
Like, I don't get it. Like, when you fly to London, whose game is it?
They choose. Like, so this time, for technically, it was a home game for the Bengals.
But it's not their home.
It's not their home. So that's a little that sucks for them because they, you know, you only get a certain number of home games every year, mm-hmm. and one of their home games is a London game. But it is what it is. But there will be we will probably have a franchise in London, and we may have a franchise in Mexico within the next 10-15 years.
10-15 years is a long time.
It's a long time. I mean, it's gonna take a while they got to work out the logistics mm-hmm. of a team in London. Like, if somebody going to travel,
you know, to
the
travel.
UK every week, or are they going to travel from the UK here every week?
It's like
week?
You legit just have to just be here we'll be and there. Then be there. Yeah.
So, I do believe we're going to get a franchise there soon.
I mean, it worked out a little bit easier for Toronto. I mean, Canada's right there. Yeah. So.
But the tie, though, they need to get rid of regular season ties. I'm not feeling the tie. Like that, and then we get two ties and like
yeah, that's true. A week's time. I can see where a tie would piss me off. I mean, you don't want to get a tie on Father's Day. You don't want to get a tie on Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know.
I mean, they in the playoffs you can't tie. You got to play till somebody wins. But regular season these ties, you know, just let them play till somebody scores. It's gonna happen eventually.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I don't want a tie mark. Like, listen, I need to win.
Yeah.
Tie is not a win, people. Tie is not a win.
Tie is not a win. But that's not something that the Cubs have to worry about.
No, because after 108 years. 108 years. We got to say that again. 100. 108 years.
108 years.
Could you imagine going 108 years between every V? Between every victory?
I think somebody said, fact checkers, you can tell me I'm wrong, but I believe I heard on the broadcast that the last time the Cubs won the World Series, Al Capone was 9 years old.
108 years?
108 years.
Damn. Baseball is old.
Baseball is old as fuck.
Old as shit. And we only in like the 50 something Super Bowl.
Yeah, we in the football because, the Super Bowl era didn't start till after the merger. So, the NFL existed, prior to the Super Bowl. So a lot of those teams that don't have Super Bowls have NFL championships or have world championships, but they don't have Super Bowls because the Super Bowl as a thing didn't exist until after the merger. That's me getting like nerdy about football. Whatever.
That shit crazy.
Eagles still suck. You don't have one. Don't talk to me. That's what
I happen to low-key like the Eagles, though.
I hate the fact that people feel so free to talk shit about the Redskins when the majority of franchises in the NFL don't have as many Super Bowl titles as we do. And I don't feel... And all of our Super Bowl titles came since the 80s. So, I know that's... We're still talking about like 30 years ago, but we're not talking about...
Semi-modern.
Like, yeah,
semi-modern.
We're not talking about ancient history. Yeah. We got two in the 80s and one in the 90s. And, you know, a lot of these franchises either just got their first one not too long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the Saints. I don't want to hear Saints fans. You can't say shit to me. The Saints suck. They were the Aints. The Saints were going through what we may be going through now for a long time.
Yeah.
You just got good. The Patriots are another one. You got more Super Bowls than us, but you sucked for a long time.
Very long time.
And then you got good. But there are a lot of franchises that have none. And we got three. There aren't that many franchises that have as many or more. The majority of franchises have fewer. So I don't understand why people are so, you know, so quick to talk shit about the Redskins, the Deadskins, the Foreskins. I heard them all, man. I heard them all. If your team...
Foreskins is good.
Nah, you're a Giants fan, so I know you... But the Giants fans can throw shots, because the Giants got, what, four or five? What do you got?
And by the same token, I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying I thought that I've yet to hear the Foreskins. Haven't heard that one yet. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, every year.
Heard the Deadskins. Never heard the Foreskins. I thought it was pretty freaking funny.
Every year.
But as a whole, though, I mean, I'm not a Redskins hater.
I get tired of the hate. And then I get tired of the whole name discussion when the fucking Indians were just in the World Series and it never came up.
I mean, but they've been trying to rebrand like their name for the longest, their logo for the longest. They just can't come up with a solution. They just can't, you know...
Their nickname is the Tribe. They're the Indians. You've seen the face on the shirt. I think our face is a little more accurate. Our logo is a little more accurate than the Cleveland logo. But, yeah, so just leave us alone. Yeah.
I don't know. That proposed logo, did you see it with the, what was it, a hawk? It was like a Black Hawk or something like that.
For the Redskins or for the...
Was it for the... No, I thought it was for the Indians.
For the Indians? I don't pay that close attention to baseball. This World Series was just intriguing because had two teams.
Because of what it is, yeah.
So I did watch that Game 7. For me to say it was the best baseball game I've ever watched doesn't say much because I don't watch very many baseball games. But it was the best baseball game I've ever watched. That was a great game. I thoroughly enjoyed that. All right, so off of coming off winning things. Let's talk about some serious stuff. I'll let you take this one, Rich. This was your topic.
First, I'm going to give a shout out to 24-hour wristbands. Did an order through them. We just got our new company branded wristbands in the mail. So I'm wearing one of them right now. It's the Blue and Gray Swirl. It's kind of mesmerized really quick playing around with it. It does feel kind of smooth. It's embroidered on the inside, so embossed on the outside. So it's pretty cool. I'm kind of liking the bracelets. I'm going to try to get them up on a website just so people can see them, order one, go to some venues, do some networking, give some out. But just wanted to shout out 24-hour wristbands for the quick turnaround for the bracelets. It's much appreciated.
Yeah.
So I came across this online. Just wanted to have a quick talk about it. So 110-year-old Hopewell Missionary Baptist Church in Missouri was recently set ablaze, set on fire, and on a side of the church was spray painted the phrase "Vote Trump." Somebody spray painted this church with the phrase "Vote Trump" and then set it on fire. 110-year-old historically Black Baptist church.
That is the most upsetting part of this election and everything that's happened in the last year or so, this is that a level of racism that had gone hidden,
dormant, and then it's like Trump is the they now catalyst to wake it up.
Yeah, they now feel
empowered.
Empowered enough.
Like they feel empowered, and Trump
to step out there again.
Yeah, he's giving them a voice. He's giving these people an out. He's giving them an excuse to continue their racist and bigoted ways. And I, you know what? I can say I don't get it, but at the same time, same token, I don't have to get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's illogical, doesn't make any sense. So therefore, I'm never going to be able to wrap my mind around it. It's shitty. And I don't know. It's one of those things. I feel like for the past couple of months, for the past year, it's just more and more racist BS, bigoted BS, random bullshit every week from Trump and his backers and his supporters. And he just makes it okay. He's calling for people to attack people. Why do we even want this man in office?
That's the point. We don't. There's a group of people that do, and that's the scary part. It's a large enough group of people that this is still going on. I think we all, when it first started, you know, we're living under the impression that he won't make it through the primaries. He won't make it here. He won't make it this far. He won't be the nominee. Mm-hmm. It won't happen. Oh, it's going to be a blowout. Mm-hmm. Hillary's going to kill him.
He's here.
Every step of the way, nowhere near a blowout. Nowhere near. So every step of the way, we've seen that this group of people that we don't understand, they exist, and they're in large enough numbers that it's a real threat.
A very real threat.
But I have faith in the American people. I'm not going to, you know, go into like who I think, will or should win the election. I have faith that no matter how this election turns out, that we as a country, we as a people, we'll find a way to right the ship. You know, even if we're under leadership that isn't the best, we're not gonna let this go. But so far, we're gonna find a way to right the ship.
I don't know. I had faith that the American people wouldn't even let it get this far, and then look where that got me. So yeah. It's like, do I double down on my conviction? Do I double down on my faith in America?
I think that's what this election and all of this has taught me, that now more than ever, you got to figure out what you believe in, and you got to hold tight to it. You got to, you got to embrace it. You got to love it, and you got to hold on to it with ferocity, because it's going to be attacked. We are going to, we're facing a threat, an internal threat that I think we thought was gone, and I don't think we've dealt with in a long time. And yeah, your conviction and your faith is gonna be tested. And now is the time to decide where you stand and take a foothold,
I can see that. I guess I agree to a certain extent. And like, don't get me wrong, I have nothing against America. I love this country. I love this country. I love America. I love, for the most part, the opportunities and the advantages and the home that I have, the things that I'm able to attain. It's just not looking good for us right now. But like I said, we'll see what happens come November 8th. We will see what happens.
Elise is here. I gotta have faith that no matter how things go, there's going to be a future that she can look forward to. So I think that may be the reason why I'm choosing to remain optimistic no matter what right now. Okay, so I want to talk about, because this happened a week and a half ago.
Yeah, we had this slated for episode 6, and yeah, we kind of got derailed. But yeah.
So the Young Conservative Group, mm-hmm, at University of Texas held a bake sale that was sort of a protest about affirmative action. You're protesting the university's diversity policies, which I guess sometimes in admission decisions gives preferential treatment to certain ethnicities or certain people from particular backgrounds.
Based off of affirmative action.
And so what they did in this bake sale was they sold cookies and they priced the things according to race. So I don't have the article up in front of me, but if I remember, I think like I think Asian men paid the most. They had it, they had it even broken down by sex. It was like ethnicity,
Asian women,
and sex.
Black men, black women, white men, white women.
Asian men paid the most, and I know Native Americans got cookies for free.
Yeah,
I think black men were paid a little bit more than black women, but were pretty much toward the bottom. I believe whites were somewhere in the middle, but that was the nature of the bake sale, and it drew. It drew a pretty aggressive backlash from students on campus. And I think even officials at the university kind of, turned their back on it. The students didn't get punished in any way because the area that they set this thing up in is a designated area for these kind of, freedom of speech, say what you want to say, get it out sort of demonstrations. So they couldn't really... punish the students in any way for having the protest, but the university did say that they think they went about their message in the wrong way. Yeah. That they did something that was intentionally confrontational and inflammatory, and that was their issue with the demonstration. But what I found interesting, because I watched some video footage of some of the protest against their demonstration. Was that the two students I saw that were speaking for the bake sale and speaking against affirmative action were African American and I believe Latino. Like, I don't want to guess an ethnicity based on what he looked like. One person was clearly African American, but the other I don't know. But they weren't white. I'll say that they weren't two white students. These were students of color who were arguing against affirmative action and. While I believe in affirmative action, what upset me the most about the protest was that the people who came out to protest what they were saying wouldn't let them speak. So I'm not here to defend their position. I'm here to defend their right to say it. And I honestly, especially once I saw that they were black, they were students of color, I wanted to hear what they had to say. I wanted to understand their point of view, or at least hear them express it so I could try to understand it. I wanted to, I don't think you benefit from silencing the opposition. I think you benefit from listening to the opposition and either developing a stronger argument that defeats it or understanding where they're coming from. But if you just try to silence it, then you don't make any headway.
You know better than they are.
Yeah, you know better than they are. And you've not helped them understand you, and you don't understand them. Yeah. So that's what bothered me the most about the bake sale. I understood what they were saying. I understand the argument against affirmative action. I did a semester at Marquette, a Jesuit school in Milwaukee, and my roommate there was white. And he and I would have conversations. And I think one of the things I didn't understand that he kind of pointed out for me was that getting into Marquette, I, as an African-American student from D.C., which is a lot of people look at as the inner city, had a better chance of getting into that school than he did as a resident in Milwaukee, as a white resident in Milwaukee. There were more programs at the school designed to attract students like me for diversity purposes than there were for him. There were more opportunities for me. And I had excellent SAT scores. So I'm not saying I was a unqualified student. From a grade, from a GPA standpoint, hell yeah. I had my GPA in 11th grade was a 1.1. That was when I hated school. I didn't go to school most of the time. I was not I was definitely an underachiever. My test scores, were always great. And so I was able to write a good essay explaining my whole situation. And I got in.
Yeah.
But the reality for him was that there were probably more programs and more opportunities designed to attract and give me a chance than there were for him. And I don't know how true it is, but it's something to think about. Probably, there's a segment, whether it's true or not, that there's a segment of white America who either deals with that or believes that it's true. And you have to understand that they would be upset sometimes.
I also feel like excuse me, taking this bake sale into account too, they didn't even have a full grasp of what affirmative action actually is. Like you said, they had the white males and white females were priced somewhere in the middle, like $1.50, $2, something like that. Excuse me. But I mean, if you're basing that off affirmative action, and the white people, excuse me again, are supposed to getting the short hand of the stick, shouldn't they have been priced the highest?
I again, going off the fact that the two students that I saw defending it were people of color, I don't think they were coming from the position that white people have it the easiest.
The video that I saw, an article that I saw, I actually didn't see the man of color. What I saw was it was three white males, two white females.
Yeah, the one I saw had that there were, that young conservative group is not just a bunch of white people, you know. I think until I saw that video, I would have had the same image in my head. It was a bunch of white kids on a UT campus upset that.
I mean, even so, regardless of who made the chart and their ethnicity, if they were basing this off of what, I guess, affirmative action should have been, technically, I feel like the whites should have been paying more.
I think that they feel that no, it's not necessarily that way anymore. I think for some schools, I'm trying to find the PC. This is such a hard topic to discuss. But, you know, for some people, you know, I guess like Asian men are looked at as the pride. They are the academic prizes these days, not necessarily white folks, you know.
I get that. Stereotypes are a bitch. Stereotypes are a bitch.
But what I'm saying, like the UT base, I it was a bad idea. It was poorly executed. I would like to understand their point. I'm not gonna agree with that. I guarantee you, I'm not gonna agree with it. But you can't defeat what you don't understand. I can't defeat your logic if I never hear it. If I never open myself up to giving it a chance to be heard.
It's very much true. Very much true.
And that's what I want. So sometimes I take, and I think I wrote this in that blog article that I put out not too long ago about what is TWS, is that sometimes you on this show, you'll hear me take the unpopular or the opposing point of view, something that I don't necessarily believe in, but it's actually me like talking out loud and trying to think my way through how someone could think that way. Because I want to understand it. And that's what disappointed me about the thing, is that they didn't give the people a chance to be heard. They didn't give the people a chance to say. And I was like eagerly, I'm sitting there waiting because I wanted to hear like, what is the rationale behind this? Like, why are you supporting this? Why? How could you possibly think that what you're doing is a good idea? And I never got to hear it. So I was disappointed. That's all I have to say about that.
Got it. So something similar, not necessarily similar, but two articles I wanted to discuss recently in the news. I don't know which order you want to take these in, but the whole Lil Wayne thingy with Black Lives Matter.
That'll bring some breath. So,
number one, and I think we have to preface this with this. There's no way around this. Why is Lil Wayne a resource for anything that matters pertaining to politics or voting or governmental movements? Or why his stance didn't matter? We all knew what he was going to say when he was asked that question. We all knew.
Yeah. And why are we all surprised? What did you expect to come out of his mouth? Like, what did you think he was going to say something
profound?
Profound. Like, is that what we expected?
They thought he was going to just turn into a literary genius and say something so utterly profound that Aristotle himself would roll over twice in his grave. That's got to be what they thought. Because why in your right mind would you think that Lil Wayne, why?
I'll tell you my reaction when I first heard the whole Lil Wayne says whatever he said about Black Lives Matter. I got that's how much
it, he said his life matters. That's how much young, it rich, doesn't black matter motherfucker. To me.
But when I first heard it, and I'm gonna channel my inner 1-3. This is a 1-3. So I hope you feel this from 1-3. This is coming from the bottom of my heart. When I heard the whole thing with Lil Wayne, the first thought that came to my mind was, who cares? Who gives a rat's ass what Lil Wayne thinks about the Black Lives Matter movement? I don't wake up in the morning like, damn, I don't know.
I hope Wayne agrees.
Yeah, I don't know what decision to make about my life today. What does Lil Wayne think
what
about?
What would Wayne do today?
Lil Wayne, I don't think like that. Like, who? It's Lil, and I'm not, no diss to Lil Wayne.
There's nothing against him as an artist.
I like his music, but he's not a source of.
But that's the world that he's in. He's an artist. He's not a politician. He's why? Why?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about someone who has a known issue with lean or whatever. You know, we don't know if he was high. We don't know what state of mind he was in when he got asked these questions. We don't know any of that stuff, and I just don't care. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's certain people that when they say crazy shit, I'm like, why is it news?
And then it was weird because he says, I don't know what Black Lives Matter is, but he was just at a performance preaching about Black Lives Matter.
Like I said, I don't know if he was high.
Then he comes back out on the video confused. A few days later again, and he's like, oh, excuse me, apologies, I was just upset because they was asking him those questions about his daughter, like how would he feel if they called his daughter a bitch or a hoe or blah, 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 blah. So he said, basically after that, he just tuned it out and he was just saying whatever. But then after that again, now we get this video that's released today with the whole beginning part of the conversation that wasn't released later on. So.
Yeah, so I posted that because I did what I hate when people do. Which is, I saw something on Facebook, and then I reacted to me. I shared it, and I'm like, oh, Lil Wayne, blah, 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 you know. And then
that changed nothing for me. My stance remains the same. He's no resource, and what he said, he still said it. The prior video that was cut off, the little snippet that was released today, I guess it puts it, adds a little bit more context. It lets us know what he was thinking. It doesn't change anything.
It changes things for a little bit for me because it like you said, it adds context to it. And so what it did for me was it made it more that maybe from his perspective, he has a difficult time adopting this Black Lives issue with police when he owes his life to a white police officer. I'm not saying I agree with his stance, but that did put it in context for me that for him, like for him, I could imagine it feeling sort of hypocritical for him to be, you know, backing the Black Lives Matter movement, thinking to himself that, you know, a white police officer saved my life when black police officers stepped over me in the hallway. Like, so I guess to a certain extent, I can understand why he might have that feeling, whether I agree with it or not. But that adds a level of context to the discussion that just hearing Lil Wayne say, I don't care about Black Lives Matter, my lives matter, didn't do, you know. And if you want to let us judge him, if you want to put it out there so that we can all bash Lil Wayne, then tell us everything he said. Mm-hmm. Don't pull the snippet.
Just pull a snippet.
You know, because I'm sure it's a lot of shit that I say on this podcast that if you grab that 30-second clip, you might think, you know, whatever about me. And I understand that. I know it's going to happen, and I'm waiting for it. And I'll enjoy it when it does happen because that means somebody listened and took the time to cut 30 seconds of my voice out. So shout out to anybody who's planning to do that. I love you for it.
Yeah, like I said, I agree to a certain extent. At the same time, it makes him, I feel, just as close-minded. Just because you feel like, oh, your life was saved by a white cop doesn't negate all of the black lives that were taken by white cops. That's like, are you just going to sit here and say that you cannot see that there's an issue just because it's not directly affecting you. It's not directly affecting me. I'm not being attacked by a white cop right now. However, I can see what's going on in the community, and I can understand it.
I definitely understand that. Like, you know, it means something to me because, I mean, to me, it does directly affect me because I have to live in that fear. I have to live in that. I have to live in that reality
every day that
you know, I could be killed. I could be shot, and the person that kills me, the person that murders me, won't face any sort of consequence for it.
I agree. I worry every single day when I get in my car and drive to work, that 35 miles, if I'm going to make it okay.
Yeah.
Then coming home, if I'm going to make it okay, because you never know.
Yeah. But I, you know, but it goes back to what I was saying about the bake sale, is that to me, just what I always want to be able to do is to understand a different point of view, to be able to, one, accept that different points of view exist, and to have some sort of willingness to hear and try to understand a different point of view. Whether I, at the end of the day, agree with it or not is a completely different thing. But the fact that Lil Wayne feels differently, if that is how he actually feels, if that wasn't just an emotional reaction to being in the interview and not liking the questions you were being asked, I don't know. But if that is how he feels, I feel like the other part of that conversation adds some context to it that enables me to understand it. I don't agree with it, but I can't look at him. I don't look at him in the same light. You know, I don't look at him in the same, oh my God, Lil Wayne doesn't give a fuck about black people or don't give a fuck about the plight of black people. It makes it more personal to me. It makes it more personal for him that this may be the way he sees the world because of the things that have happened to him. And this is the way I see the world because of things that have happened to me. And he has all right to feel his way and I got all right to feel mine. I don't know. Is it going to stop me from... I don't buy Lil Wayne records anyway. He makes some songs that I like. I don't know that it would stop me from purchasing
a
record.
He has a couple that I like. I mean, honestly, I can't remember the last time I bought an album anyway, so therefore it's not going to change anything for me either way.
Yeah. But I'm not going to be, you know... I posted the other part of the video this morning because I felt bad. I felt bad that I fell for the trap. I felt for the let's all bash someone from a 30-second soundbite without hearing any context, without looking into what really happened. And whether or not he still deserves to be bashed is another discussion, but let's hear the whole thing. And at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck. So,
agreed. Another black artist in the news, Beyonce. Beyonce performed her song Daddy's Lessons with the Dixie Chicks at the Country Music Awards. And seems the CMAs removed some of the Beyonce-related content from their approved social media lines or social media outlets. So that's been in the news. And so a lot of people have been upset about that. Raising questions about that, and it's been a lot of outpour on both sides, as coming from people upset that Beyonce was there anyway. A lot of people citing, why was she even allowed to perform, and she's not a country star. Never mind the fact that Justin Timberlake performed last year, and it was all okay. So it was a lot of back and forth. There are a lot of people saying she's not a country music star. Of course. A lot of people complaining just because she's a black person and a black person performing at the Country Music Awards. I don't know. I just think it's BS. It was a good performance. It went well. Leave it at that.
Here I am again. Why do you do this all the time, Jerry? You don't have to do this. I got to do it. Fuck it. All right. First to begin. I don't care. Let me say that, you know, as emphatically. This is how emphatically I don't care. I don't care. Like, I have no emotion regarding the situation one way or another. What I will say is we can't compare her performance to, or I won't compare, I can't tell you what you can do. I won't compare her performance to Justin Timberlake because I feel like there's, right now for her, in a lot of people's minds, she's not just a black person. She's the black person who
hates cops.
Who hates cops? Who dressed up like a terrorist group on the Super Bowl show and whatever. I mean, to me, this was all expected. We knew it was going to raise an eyebrow. We knew it was going to cause controversy. She's performing with the Dixie Chicks, which all do which have lost some favor in that.
They were questioning themselves
as well. So I mean, you know, is one of those haters going to hate? You kind of should have seen it coming. You knew it was going to happen. Am I disappointed with the CMAs for taking it down? They know who their audience is, and maybe they were catering to it, and then they felt pressure to backpedal from that. For me personally, I wasn't going to watch the CMA. I don't care if Jay-Z was on there. Nothing was going to make me watch the CMAs. I'm not a country music fan. There are some country music songs I enjoy, but I'm not a fan. I don't watch award shows, period. Grammys, BET Awards, MTV Awards.
I'm not
awards.
A big award show person myself.
I don't watch any of them. So this is just one of those topics that I have a hard time giving a shit about. But I will say that I definitely think that the backlash is not just because she's black. It's because of who she's been for the past year or 6 or 9 months, however, since the Super Bowl, is what all she's represented beyond just being, you know, beyond just being a black person. So there are some black. I think if Hootie was, what is Hootie's real name? Darius Rucker. Mm-hmm. I think if Darius Rucker was on the CMAs, like they wouldn't cut that out. Well, there's another guy that is a country rapper. I forget his name, but if he was on there, they wouldn't cut that out, and there probably wouldn't be as much backlash from the fan base. But the country music fan base is probably among the same people who were ready to protest and boycott the NFL because of her Super Bowl show.
Pretty much.
I think she's more than a black person right now. She's like the icon for. She's damn near a Black Lives Matter spokesperson unofficially.
She's anti.
She's anti-white to them. So I can see how that they got a little butthurt about it, but I don't care. I'm glad they got butthurt. I'm glad that she can still hurt people. It excites me. I don't know. I'm confrontational. So I'm glad that the confrontation took place. I'm glad that we get to talk about it, and I get to say what I that I don't care about it, because I want them to know that how they feel about her or how they feel about us. I don't give a shit. Keep doing it. You tuned in. You watched it.
And this has been 5 minutes on the fucks that Fawn doesn't give.
I can't find one. I'm looking for it. If anybody has seen my fucks, if you can return them, please, because I don't have any. That was a bad joke. I tried.
All right. So, last one. And this is one that you seem passionate about.
And again, God damn it, man. Like, I am. Please, people. Like black folks, I'm one of you. I love you. I love you. And I say this shit because I want us to do better. I want us to make, I want us to be a little bit more political. I want us to learn to play the game. And I don't think we're playing the game.
If you're listening to this episode, we're sorry. We understand it's a lot of political stuff. A lot of stuff happened this week. We're trying to squeeze it all in.
Squeeze it all
in. Man, we'll crack a joke at some point. I promise. Lighthearted.
Please go read my What Is TWS article so you can kind of understand where I'm coming from when I take these unpopular stances. And this is another one. And I think I'm on such a roll right now that I've any fucks that I did have
they're
evaporated.
Long
they're long gone. And long so gone. I might go in. I'll let you start it out.
All right, so this one is about a debate that took place at Dillard University. So white nationalists and former KKK, I don't know, online, it has him listed as a former KKK Grand Wizard. It has him listed as a former Imperial Wizard. I honestly don't know what the difference is. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the rankings are. I don't know what they mean. All I know is that former KKK member and current white nationalist David Duke took part in a debate at Dillard University, which is an historically black university. That was a deep inhale on that.
Go ahead and get my nicotine in right now. I'm down to 3 milligrams though. Cutting it out. Vape life.
So he held a debate there. A bunch of students were upset. About 150 protesters in all were protesting, basically chanting "No KKK, No Fascist USA." A lot of black students were extremely upset. They were protesting against their president too, calling the president and Uncle Tom. It's turned into a big thing.
So do you want to go first?
Go ahead. I know you're waiting for it. I wanted to introduce the topic, but I know you're waiting for it. Go ahead.
Part of me doesn't want to talk about it because. Here's how I feel. So, I think this is news because of the racial tension in the country right now, because of everything that's going on, of the police shootings, the different protests and the Trump stuff and the church being burned. I think, this is all, we're all at a heightened state of racial sensitivity. But when I look at the facts of the story, when I look at what happened, I want to say what I'm saying because I don't want the story to get spun out of control. I don't want people to start hearing things and believing things that are being sensationalized about the story. So one, because I've heard it being referred to as a Klan rally, or like David Duke specifically was brought in to speak or something like that. It's not what happened. This was a Senate race debate. This was the final debate for a Louisiana Senate seat, and David Duke earned in a panel of several. I think they said it's more than half a dozen candidates that were at mm-hmm. this debate. So six other people or close to six other people. I don't know exactly how many were included in this debate, and David Duke earned a spot in this debate because of his poll numbers. He wasn't invited. He wasn't, no one went out of their way to include David Duke. He had to be included because of his poll numbers. His poll numbers earned him a spot in that debate. The debate was always intended to be a closed debate. It was not like the presidential debates. It was not open to the public. They would have been debating to an empty room. Not even journalists were invited. Nobody was supposed to get in. The security there was not there to protect David Duke. The security there was there because this was a closed debate. And like I said, the media was not even invited. I don't know if the school at the time they decided to rent the space had the forethought to believe that toward the end of the race, David Duke would still be a popular enough candidate to earn a spot to be there. I don't know if they didn't feel comfortable backing out once they understood that he would be there. Maybe that's a beef some people would have. I think what I read in one of the articles is that the student was upset. They're like, a Klan member, a member of a terrorist organization is being protected on our campus, on a campus, on a historically black campus. I don't want the story to get spun that way. I think it's an unfortunate set of events. I think it's unfortunate that the debate was being held at HBCU and that David Duke survived the campaign enough to be invited to this final debate. But I don't think it was anything intentional that anybody did. It was not a Klan rally. I believe that the candidates that were there, the stories that I'm hearing from the debate, he got taken, even though he was he's really not in the race, like he really has no chance of winning. He still garnered enough attention that the front runners took shots at him. He caught his lumps politically in the debate. The unfortunate part of it is that the protest and the fact that the protest got somewhat violent, some of the pictures that I saw and some of the footage that I saw was of students trying to force their way in, let us in, banging on the doors, that kind of stuff. That probably adds fire to David Duke's fan base. He gets to call this a Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. like, terrorist reaction, a violent protest. Look, you know, this, for the people that believe in him, the people that listen to him and hear what he has to say, he can now spin this. He can use this. We gave him ammunition, and just because it was an unfortunate situation, do I wish that the president of the university or the university had more forethought, excuse me, and saw this coming and anticipated it and avoided it? Yes. Do I wish the students had found a more political way to do? We have to. I apologize for saying we have to, because I am in no position of power. I am no, I'm no pundit. I'm no leader to tell people what they have to do. But I think it would suit our purpose a little better if we started to be more political in our thinking and more political in the way we decide to attack these wrongdoings.
Play the game.
Yeah, we play the game, because he's playing the game, and he's gonna and in the game that he's playing, you know, we gave him ammunition.
And I can agree to a certain extent, because they knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
If you take this man with known ties to the KKK, give him a forum at a black school, you know what's going to happen. You can see it. And it fed right into their game. It's exactly what they wanted. And they got the outcome that they wanted. And like you said, it just gave them ammo. It gave them fuel for what his purpose is. And they're going to run with it. They're going to absolutely run with it. Do I feel like they should have had more forethought, like you said? Yes. Do I feel like maybe the president should have exercised the option to say no? Or, you know, don't let this person in at this time? Or at that point, got more security or did something to sort or made a statement or something? Because now, essentially, what it is you have these students here, excuse me, and they're basically looking at the president and they're looking at the university like, you are here to protect us. You know, you are here for us. You know, imagine if you're at dinner with your family, and your wife says, I have someone coming over for dinner next week. You don't know who it is. All of a sudden, you find out, and it turns out that person was a convicted child rapist. Now, because your wife already said, okay, do you let that person in your house still to have dinner with you and your kids? Or do you at the last minute say, you know what, we're not going to be able to honor this? Or what? What in between, like, do you go ahead and send your kids off to bed early? Do you send your kids over to your friend's house? You know what I mean? What else could they have done to prevent that from escalating?
Right.
There's always a choice.
But yeah, I guess the thing in my head is that, you know, like, if it was a Klan, like, if they allowed a Klan rally on their campus, then that's, you know, what are you thinking? Like, what, you know, that's stupid. Like, why would you have a Klan rally on a HBCU campus? This was a Senate debate. He wasn't there as a Grand Wizard or an Imperial Wizard or a former Klansman or any of that. He was there as a candidate for a Senate seat.
Yeah, but he's a white nationalist KKK member who's running for a Senate seat.
I mean, I understand that.
It's a fine line.
But he wasn't there in a threatening manner. He wasn't there to do something detrimental to the school.
He may not have been speaking out overtly.
Even if he was. But
his very presence to some is a threat.
But that is, and that's the, and that's, so to play devil's advocate, because that's mm-hmm. what I do oh so well. Let's say I'm a former gang member. I have affiliations to a gang. To some people, my presence is going to be a threat. You know? But if I start getting denied access to certain places or start when the president, you know, invited Common to the White House and people got upset because Common made a song about Assata Shakur, who, you know, many people still believe is a cop killer, which is bullshit. You know, I don't at all. We, if you look at the facts of the case, there's mm-hmm. no way she did any of the things that they claim she did. She was shot under the armpit, which means she was shot with her arms up,
mm-hmm.
you know. Excuse me. So none of that's true. But, you know, the president didn't say, you know, because Common has some affiliation with something you don't like and you view him as a threat, I'm not going to allow him. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm not going to allow him access that I feel he's not here in that. He's not here in that.
In that vein.
He's not here as a proponent of Assata Secure. He's not. And David Duke in that particular moment was not there as a Klansman. He was there as a Senate candidate, and he was there for a debate that, according to the rules of the election, according to the rules of the campaign, he had earned a spot in. The thing to be upset about is that David Duke still has enough of a following that he earned a spot.
He made it that far.
In that, like, the same way, you know, to be upset about the Trump stuff, the thing to be upset about is that there is something still happening in America where there are enough people that stand behind this kind of stuff that these people get to these points. You know, that there is enough support and following for David Duke that he made it to the final debate mm-hmm. of this Senate race. You know, that is the problem. That is the problem. The university made some mistakes. The president of the university made some mistakes. Maybe he and his, you know, or I don't know if it's a woman or a man. I'm just saying he, now I'm being sexist. You know, send me your hate mail. I don't care. But maybe the president didn't have the forethought. Maybe they looked at this Senate race and said, there's no fucking way David Duke making it to the end. I can go ahead and do this. You know, and even when it happened, it, you know, I don't know. I don't know all the ins and outs and particulars of it. I just know that having a violent protest and having pictures in the paper of us trying to bum rush security guards and get into this debate when this debate was already a closed debate. It was not supposed to be open to the public. You were not going to get in there. It had nothing to do with them protecting David Duke. It had everything to do with the fact that no one was supposed to be in there, period. That adds fuel to these already, you know, in my mind, crazy supporters. And I just want us to be more political about our reactions. I want us to not react emotionally so much and play the game, because they're playing the game. This is a game, and we're slowly but surely getting more accustomed to the rules. I do understand that they change up the rules every so often whenever we start to get good at it.
When it suits them.
Yeah, when it suits them, when we're making headway, the rules change. But yeah, I see the situation is unfortunate, and it probably is going to make a turn for the more negative than it is for the positive. And that's, I don't know. That's me playing devil's advocate. Yeah, would I want David Duke at my school or anywhere I was going to be? No. I don't know. I don't know if I would go to the extent of trying to force my way in to make a point, because, you know, people got arrested, people got harassed by the police, and it just became ammunition for some zealots, some bigots.
Lemony Snickers.
Not happy about it.
Sums up that. Lemony Snickers. That's the entire 2016 in a nutshell. Lemony Snickets, a series of fucked up events.
But I, you know, I go back to our discussion about Trump and my eternal optimism, my forced optimism. I have to believe that we're going to right the ship, that we're going to find a way to combat these things. And maybe if I'm so opinionated about some of these things, I need to start thinking of better ways to do things, or things that I think are better ways to do things, rather than just not liking what everybody else does. I think I was described in the article once as delightfully cynical. I need to shake that, because I'm not delightful in any way, Paul. No. But I don't know. So yeah,
I feel like I'm growing more and more cynical too. I gotta shake it.
But that's, yeah. So I've ranted a lot today. Got a lot off my chest.
Yeah, we gotta go light for a minute.
Yeah, go light. What can we do?
All right, we're going to do a quick card pull just to lighten this up, get some little twist on this really quick. All right, today's card. What would you love to find at a yard sale?
Me?
You go to a yard sale, you walk in, you find it, your heart's content. Everything in the world is there.
Yeah.
What would you love to find at this yard sale?
A fuck to give. No, how about some Prince vinyl? Some first pressing of a Prince record. If I could get like
that is good. Yeah. That is good. What would I want to find at a yard sale? That's a tough question because I like so much, but it's like, what would outweigh everything else? There's a lot of dope stuff, like a pair of original mags autographed by like Michael J. Fox from the original movie. Like, if I found those at a garage sale, I'd be in heaven and I'd be cashing out right now.
Let's do it. What's a mag?
The mags, the sneakers, the self-lacing Nike mag. I know you know what the Nike mags are. So have you seen Back to the Future?
I've seen Back to the Future.
So Back to the Future 2, mm-hmm. when he goes to the future, yeah. He goes to, what was it, a Foot Locker or something like that?
He puts the shoes on.
Those high-top sneakers with the lights in the back that lace themselves up.
I know they had names.
Those are mags.
Okay.
Nike actually just released the real pair.
Yeah. Have you seen the Puma ones?
Yeah.
I think those are nice. I like those better.
So, how do you like those better?
One, that the motor is inside the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what the differences were. Well, one, they're smaller. There's a smaller footprint.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're pretty decent running shoes. Like, I mean, you can really
Nike,
put them on.
Nike has a
the mags. Nike. I think the motor is like in the heel or something. Yeah.
Nike has another one. It's a cross trainer. I forget the name. And they lace themselves up too. That was actually the first pair. And then they released the mags right after that. I think the mags are dope as shit though.
I like the Pumas.
Lace themselves up. They got those lights. I mean,
and the Pumas have the have that Bluetooth connectivity, so yeah. you can adjust the tightness or even set like a pattern to how you want it to loosen up as you run when your feet start to swell and stuff like, you know, as a runner.
I don't know. I feel like just because I'm a fan of Adi, I can't get with his brother. So I don't know.
All right. So here you go again. Who the fuck is Adi?
So Adidas was founded by Adi Dassler.
Okay.
So
it's not Adidas, all day I dream about sex. No.
That was one of my favorites. But now Adi Dassler founded Adidas, and his brother used to design with him. Okay. Him and his brother were always in competition. His brother then decides, you know what, I'm not going to work with you. I'm going to branch off and start my own company. So Adi Dassler founded Adidas. I forget his brother's name, but his brother founded Puma. So there are two competing family members. The money's going to the same people.
Hey, fucking sneakerheads, man.
It's like all
kinds of history and shit with sneakers. I learned something today. Man, I learned something on the podcast. Shit.
Who'd have thunk it?
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? Damn. All right. This was a good podcast, dude. I think, like, regardless of all the other shit I had to say today, the fact that I learned like the history of Adidas and Pumas, like, I feel like I came out on top.
Works for me.
All right. So this has been another episode of
What is TWS?
We promised to be a little more cheery. I'm not going to offend as many people the next time. I think the next episode, I'm going to say it so that we have to do it. I think the next episode will be like a pure like love of hip hop type episode. That's what I wanted.
That could work.
I'm going to say it just so I'll put it out there. I'll put it in the air. It's got to happen now.
Till next time.
All right, people.
Love, peace, and soul.
Peace.